Close our week-long series of covering the special days, the great memorial days of the Lord. We're going to look at the new moon. We've been in Leviticus 23. Now, Leviticus 23 makes mention of every single one of the great memorial days of the Lord, except for one, and that's the new moon. Let's turn to Numbers 28. Now, Numbers 28 and 29 covers the sacrifices of the special days. Except it skips Passover, though. Excuse me, not Passover, Pentecost. So it's kind of interesting. We got one missing from Leviticus and one missing from Numbers 28 and 29, but between the two, we cover them all. The interesting thing about New Moon is that there's more specific mention about New Moon than there is any other specific of the great memorial days, except Sabbath. Sabbath's the only one that gets more mention in Scripture. And even with all that mention of the New Moon, so many miss it entirely. Let's read Numbers chapter 28, verses 11 through 15. And in the beginnings of your months, you shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord, two young bullocks and one ram, seven lambs of the first year without spot, and 3/10 deals of flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil for one bullock, and 2/10 deals of flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil for one ram, and a several tenth deal of flour mingled with oil for a meat offering unto one lamb, for a burnt offering of a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And their drink offering shall be half an hin of wine unto a bullock, and a third part of an hin unto a ram, and a fourth part of an hin unto a lamb. This is the burnt offering, holocaust, of every month, throughout the months of the year. And one kid of the goats for a sin offering unto the Lord shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. Doesn't tell us a lot there, except this is a time to be kept, and there's a lot involved with it. That's every month, at the beginning of your month, which is the new moon. To find out about the new moon, we have to read a lot of Scripture, which we're not going to do tonight, because you can't do justice to this subject in the short amount of time we're going to have tonight. So we're just going to kind of review a familiar subject to us, kind of a highlight of the new moon. I'm going to read as the last couple of evenings from Great Memorial Days by John Quincy Adams. On the monthly Sabbath, beginning at sunset on the day on which the new moon occurs. This makes it the daylight of the day after that labeled by the calendar as new moon. This is not hard to understand, for in God's calendar, the day does not begin at midnight, nor at sunrise, nor at dawn, but runs from sunset to sunset. So this day begins at sunset on the date that regular calendars label new moon, and sweeps through the daylight of the next day, the 24-hour period. For this reason, if we were printing in red on calendar the monthly Sabbath, it would be the next figure after that labeled new moon on your calendar. This Sabbath is next after the weekly Sabbath in point of frequency. Now, I'd make a note here that on our calendars, we actually mark the new moon day when it is. The calendars that you all have, we go ahead and mark those so that you know you don't have to go by a foreign calendar that says new moon and count to the next day. When we have it marked, that's what it is. John Quincy Adams continues, not until the Holy Spirit in his blessed but rejected tongues ministry called our attention time and again to this real Sabbath, and by his many visitations on the need of observing it, did we ever notice this peculiarity to which we now call attention. Namely, nearly every time the weekly seventh-day Sabbath is mentioned in the Scriptures, in the same breath, in the same passage, We usually find the monthly new moon Sabbath also mentioned. Thus in the scriptures, hand in hand they go. Just a few examples are 2 Kings 4 and 23, 1 Chronicles 23, 31, 2 Chronicles 2, 4, 2 Chronicles 8, 13, 2 Chronicles 31, 3, Isaiah 66, 23, Ezekiel 46, verses 1, 3, and 6, and many more. Nearly every time the weekly seventh-day Sabbath is mentioned in the scriptures, in the same breath, in the same passage, we usually find the monthly new moon Sabbath also mentioned. Thus in the scriptures, hand in hand they go. Just a few examples are 2 Kings 4 and 23, 1 Chronicles 23, 31, 2 Chronicles 2, 4, 2 Chronicles 8, 13, 2 Chronicles 31, 3, Isaiah 66, 23, Ezekiel 46, verses 1, 3, and 6, and many more. As we call off these references, it sounds like calling out a string of football signals. But blessed is the man or woman who plays the game of life, or fights the battle of life by these divine signals. From these we learn that it was proper not only on the weekly seventh-day Sabbath to go to see the man of God, which corresponds today to divine services and worship, but also on the monthly new moon Sabbath as well. But the men of God were to render on this monthly Sabbath exactly the same kind of services that they rendered on the seventh-day weekly Sabbath. And on they go, hand in hand, through the scriptures and through the ages, and even into the new age or world to come. On this last point, all you have to do is read in Mark Isaiah 66, 23, in which we read, in the future kingdom, when Jesus is ruling right here on this earth, it says, every new moon and every Sabbath day, all of creation will come before him. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2 about new moons and Sabbaths and the feast days. These things are a shadow of things to come. When Paul wrote about them in the New Testament, they still are. They haven't ceased. And why would they? You see, the new moon is when the moon becomes new again. You know what's interesting about the moon has no light of its own. The only way we see the moon is by the reflection of the sun on it, the greater body of light, the greatest body of light for our intents and purposes. Just as we have no light apart from him, as we just sang about this little light of mine, with these children all shining their light, which is Jesus, before us all, even as we shine our light before the world. And at this monthly time, when the moon becomes new again and is darkened and light begins anew, at that time we remember that we are in darkness without him. We have no light except for that which he reflects through us and in us and from us, as we allow him, because he won't force himself. In Isaiah 66, as I mentioned, it says we'll be doing this throughout eternity. And there we hear, returning to Adam's writing, there we hear Jehovah God declare concerning the new world, the new age to come, that the new world shall never be destroyed. What a joy! It shall forever remain, and that even then shall all flesh. It is not a Jewish matter then. All flesh shall have to come before him to worship. As it says, quote, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another. Mentions the new moon first, because the new moon comes first, even though the Sabbath comes more often. The new moon establishes the seasons. It establishes the very feasts that he uses to teach us his plan, salvation, his plan for the ages, his plan for us throughout the ages is determined by the new moon. Only the Sabbath occurs more often. It's a very special time. And I like the way that Brother Adams puts this line here. Say, pray tell me, who started this lie that the Sabbaths are Jewish? Well, already we have answered the question, how observe any of these special Sabbaths? By rest and worship. Yet let us here give a special virtue that we find in this blessed monthly Sabbath, as Brother Adams in his home observed faithfully without a miss since 1929. That's before Mary was even born. Mary was born into a family already keeping the new moon Sabbaths. Many here have also been into families, born into families, already keeping the new moon and the Sabbath days. It's a special raising, special light that you have when you're raised that way. Something to be thankful for. Hallelujah! You all have heard of New Year resolutions. Their purpose is to meditate on the failure or shortcomings in the past year, and also to meditate on the things that especially you would like to attain unto or perform in the course of the new coming year, and then to draw up a few rules or resolutions that will best prevent recurrence of such shortcomings again, and will best aid attaining certain special feasts in the new year. Now, all this is very good. There is only one evil about it, as I see it. A year is too long a period. And before we have gone very far, we usually have wholly forgotten such list of resolutions. Why not draw up such plan or program on every monthly Sabbath, each new moon? Just for the coming month, no more than 30 days ever goes by without getting to start over again and give it another shot. This results in living a planned life, and oh, the progress when you do this. Here are a few suggestions from Brother Adams. Taking in a lot of other things, but just this one thing. A spoken praise and then one parting prayer. Oh, how things will move along. I might add to that, if you start doing this, you'll have some real good success, but you'll also have Satan come hard against you. New moon. We observe the ordinances on each monthly Sabbath. Of course, we anoint and pray for the sick, one of the ordinances at any time. Yet we make public call during each new moon monthly Sabbath for any wishing prayer for the physical body. Thus saith the Lord God, mentioned more only by the Sabbath than by the new moon. And Ezekiel 46 gives us some indications as to why. Thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looks toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened, and the prince shall enter by way of the porch of that gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate, and the priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening. Only on the Sabbath and the new moon is this gate to the east, where the sun arises and the greatest light is available to us. His light, his presence, his blessings, his revelation, especially on this new moon day, as well as the Sabbath, unlike any other of the feast days. That gate was shut for Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, all of these great and wondrous days, that gate was shut. They come but once a year. But once a month, 12 to 13 times a year. And every week, 52 times a year, it is open for the special blessing and presence of the Lord. Turn to Colossians chapter 2 in the New Testament. In verses 16 and 17, we're going to read plainly what the Scripture says. First, I'll read the translation, which is pretty plain, that's commonly read by most. And then we're going to make it even plainer, see what it really says. Verses 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. This scripture declares that these times, including the Sabbath and new moon named right out, are going on. And they are a shadow of things yet to come, according to Paul, after Calvary, after resurrection, in this dispensation, in this period of grace, in this age, still going on since that time. I want to bring your attention to verse 17. Because these days, it is said, are a shadow of things to come. That's a positive statement. And then in every Bible I've ever seen, it says, but. Now, but is a contrary word. It means here's an exception. It means what we said before isn't really always that way. And it's translated in every Bible that way, but the body is of Christ. As if to say something contrary to what was just said. But what was just said is a glorious thing. It's about new moon and Sabbath, the times of greatest reflection, of greatest presence, greatest revelation. And yet the men who translated these Bibles didn't believe those things. So they translated that word there to say but. In the Greek language, that word is kai. K-A-I in English is how it translates. The word kai is one of the most often used words in your New Testament. You see it all the time. It can be translated as but. It rarely is. What you usually see is the word and. There's no verb there in that line where it's been translated, but the body is of Christ. But they had to add a verb in there because when they put but, they changed the direction of the previous verb. So they had to add one in. But Paul didn't write one there. Because in reality, Paul wrote one continuous sentence. And what this verse tells us about the holy days, the feasts of God, the new moon, and the Sabbath days, what Paul wrote about those times is this, which are a shadow of things to come, and the body of Christ. That's you and me. Because we've been studying all this week. These times point us to eternity. They're rehearsals. They teach us and show us and give us hopeful longing for what He has for us and what He has done for us and what He's going to do for us. still going to do. That's why Paul wrote, they are a shadow of things yet to come. A shadow of things to come and the body of Christ. That's you and me. A shadow cast forth. We haven't got there yet. But we're going to. We're well on our way. And that's why we keep these feasts still. That's why we still keep the Sabbath and the new moon. And that's New Testament theology. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, that Sabbath, that's Old Testament stuff. Paul wrote about it. Paul was a rabbi, the most learned rabbi of all the apostles. He knew the Old Testament better than anybody. And he said, these times are, for us, the body of Christ. Hallelujah! Glorious times of celebration, teaching times, times of special fellowship with the Lord and with each other, to help one another, to glory with one another before Him, to give Him glory. Why would anybody not want to do that? It doesn't make any sense. Neither does this translation. It doesn't make any sense. Then, like I said, you get yourself a concordance. You can look up Chi, get a computer program. You can run down. It occurs, well, at least hundreds of times. I believe it's thousands of times. And it's the word and in just about every instance. Because these things, the new moon among them, are a shadow of things to come and each and every one of us. So make that a special time. You'll receive special blessings. Oh yes, you'll have Satan want to mess with you because he wants to take your blessing away. You know, more important than that, he just wants to hurt God. See, Satan doesn't care about you at all. He doesn't care to hurt you. He really doesn't care. He just wants to hurt God. The other day we talked about getting under Satan's skin by declaring the glory of his resurrection, by declaring the glory of things he is going to do, by declaring the glory of things he has done. Well, here's another thing you can add to your list of getting under Satan's skin. Set aside this time. Make it a special time of glorying in his resurrection, of glorying in his power, of glorying in him, and you'll get underneath Satan's skin. And oh, by the way, he'll come at you at first. Again, people come to your door, phone will ring, something might happen to your car, your truck, your tractor, Randy. He'll bring things in there to trouble you, just to distract you. Because he doesn't want God to receive that special glory. And he wants to interrupt that relationship of Ezekiel 46, of greatest light, of greatest blessing, of greatest revelation. Now, he can't interrupt it. He can only put things in the way. We have to go ahead and choose to deal with the things he puts in the way to let him have that away from you and away from God. So don't let him do it. He can't take it from you. You can only give it to him. That's the last of the great memorial days as we now have entered into the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Tomorrow we're going to have our service at 11 a.m. for the last day, Holy Convocation, special Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Going to have a time of celebration of all that he has done for us and all that he's going to do for us. Going to sing and praise and worship. Everybody be thinking, bring a testimony. Of course, you don't have to think about it. You can just come tomorrow and wait and see what testimony he gives you to give unto him. We'll have a fellowship meal afterwards. Going to have a party. That's what a feast is, festival. Going to enjoy ourselves respectfully before him. It's going to be unleavened still, keeping the purity of our doctrines, of our living, of his ways. So for those of you that can be here in the morning, come on and join us. And for those that can't, and for those that can, join us tomorrow night as we leave the Feast of Unleavened Bread and continue in praise and glory of Him as we eat together again tomorrow night and come in here and sing and worship and praise Him who alone is worthy of all praise and glory and honor. Can I hear a hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Oh, that sounded good. That sounded good. He is pleased. Somebody look up where the Eastern Gate is, that song. It's in the softback, I think. Might be in the hardback, too. We're going to close. Pardon? No, we're just going to use the softback or the hardback. It's easier. It's in one of those two. There we go. 82 in the softback. We're going to sing about that Eastern Gate. But someday we'll be there. Literally, right now we're there, spiritually and figuratively, whenever Sabbath comes, as tomorrow night.
Thank you.